Listen to the voice of the people, everything that they tell you, because it's not you that they despise, rather me that they have rejected from being king of Hortana. In other words, your performance, Shmuel, is still perfect. Everything you've been doing up until now has still been good. There's no problems. It's just they don't want that relationship of you being in charge to continue. They feel that you're too holy, lofty for them. They want somebody that's more on their level. And that's what they're really doing. So that's the idea behind it. In other words, the Shoftim, we're dealing with a very, very high level. If you deserve to be saved, then you'll be saved. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And all the wars were crazy. Remember when Gideon went to war? He went to war with 300 men. Barak and Deborah, when they went to war, they were up against 900 chariots and they had nothing. Shimshon was one man against everybody. Bnei Yisrael needed to deserve that in order for it to be. Said Bnei Yisrael, we're not in the mood for that anymore. Just win. We don't want like any crazy, we just want to win. And that's the problem. They never wanted to, they wanted to not be as stringent as they once could. They wanted a real army. They wanted a king that would have a real army, not dependent on miracles whatsoever, but a real Israeli army, a Tzahal, where everything could be up to them more than anything else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, it's not you that they're rejecting, they're rejecting me. They don't want me to be around as much anymore. That's the idea behind it. Not saying that Tzahal is not, okay, anyway.
Didn't want Hashem to be around, or is it that they felt that they couldn't handle the pressure of having to be up to the standards?
Number two, they couldn't handle the pressure. That's it. That's what it is. But that in essence is rejecting God. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. That's why they don't want me anymore. And that's what they want. He also, the problem is that they wanted a king that could make his own laws. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, there's no such thing. Our king doesn't work that way. Our king doesn't make his own laws. Our king does things according to what the Torah says, not anything else. And that's the idea behind it. Okay, here we go. All the deeds that they have done, from the day that I brought them up from Mitzrayim out of Yom HaZeh until today, my Azmuni, they have forsaken me. They have served other gods. So too, they are doing that to you as well. Right? They wanted the familiar. They wanted the ordinary. They wanted things like that for them to be around. They didn't want anything else. And that was the problem over here. And they're looking for things that are bad. That's all. Shema b'kolam. Now, listen to their voices. Akya eid toyin b'hem. Warn them. They tell them about what's going to happen when they're going to be a king. Okay. It's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the king to be ready at its proper time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't doing this. It was Bnei Yisrael asking for it. You know what's amazing? Had they waited 2.5 years, you know who the next leader would have been? Would have been David HaMelech. 2.5 years.
First Shmuel would die and then...
Yeah. Shmuel would have died.
They had no idea that was going to happen.
You never know. But if only they would have waited, David HaMelech would have been king in the right way. But as of right now, it's 2.5 years too early. David's not ready yet. They needed an in-between king. And that's the idea of what they needed. That's why Shaul was made right now. He was an in-between king. He was always going to be like the Melech of Yisrael. He would be like a leader. But he wasn't necessarily supposed to be the king of all Yisrael. Now, was there about Yomer Shmuel, Kol Divrei Hashem Elohav, Hashem Elohim told Melech. Shmuel told the words of Hashem to all the people that were asking for a king. The elders might have been justified in asking for a king. Maybe they were asking for it for the right reason. But the people were not. They were at fault. They were asking for kings for the wrong reason. So he told them, king doesn't perform a chalitza, can't ride on his horse, can't use his throne, can't hold his scepter, can't observe him in an undignified situation. You can't just call him a regular person. You can't refer to any other person as lord or master in front of him. You have to give him honor even after his death. His personal possessions may never be used. His widow cannot be married by anybody. All the halakhos, he went through all of them with him. This is going to be the mishpat of the king that will be king over you. As b'neiav yikach, he can take your children. They can be placed in his chariot or in his horsemen, right? And they can run in front of his thing. Now it's a question. Are these excessive demands that they can't necessarily get, but they're allowed to do? Or is this, no, this is all part of the halachas that are mentioned by the Torah itself? That's a bit of a question. He can use your children as his officers of thousands and officers of fifties. He can plow with them. He can reap with them. He can use them for making weapons and for making chariots or things that they needed there. The king might pay their fees, but he can force them to do it. He will take your daughters for himself, to be perfumers, to be cooks, and to be bakers. Now, by the way, what's the shot in that? Anybody who bakes or cooks or anything like that, these types of people are concubines. You didn't just stop making food for the kids. They would eat a few actions. Yeah, that was their job. You ever wonder, we say that Chazal say you're only allowed to have 18 wives. Oh man, just 18 wives? By a king, you're only allowed to have 18 wives? It's that the people who serve the king, if they're women, they have to be his concubines. Or else they're not allowed to serve the king. They might not be people that the king is together with, but they have to be concubines of the king. That's another law of the king. He can take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olives and give it to his servants. Now, he's got to pay for it. He's not allowed to just take it, but he could take it if he wants to, and that's that. Your seeds and your vineyards, he can take a tenth and give it to his officers and his servants. He can take your servants, your maid servants, your young men, the best ones, and your donkeys. He can take it and use it for his own work. So come Yasor, he can take a tenth of your sheep, not to you, you'll be all his servants, and you'll cry out at those days from your king that he's taken too much money. It's what you chose yourselves. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not immediately answer you. It's going to take a while for God to get back to you. Because again, if you're not working with the level of the Shoftim, while you're on a higher level and you're closer to God, that means on days where you're lower, it takes a while for Hashem to get back to you.
They were never on a high level with the Shoftim. Because the Shoftim were around only to save them.
I know it doesn't seem that way, but it's not stopped that 300 people can save an entire nation.
Obviously, but the miracles happen out of more out of salvation than out of them deserving it because they were on such a high level. There was so much idolatry, all these other type of things. We lost to Aram.
Toward the end.
Whatever. We lost to Aram. Doesn't get much worse.
But again, toward the end, toward this time, before this, the people were good. Really, really good. Now, granted, they did things that were wrong. Abimelech obviously was a bad king, bad
Shofet. Come to the rescue every single time.
Yes, agreed. But that's because they were crazy good. They were the most renegades, so to speak. They refused to listen to the voice of Shmuel. No, we want a king over us. We don't want anything else. We want to be like all the other nations. Let our king judge us. Let him go out in front of us. And let him wage war for us. Shmuel heard the words of the people, and he told them over to Hashem. Shmuel said, listen to the voice. And make for them a king. Everybody go home. Go back to your cities. Okay? I'm going to make a king now, but I'm waiting for him to come to me. Hashem's going to tell me who it's going to be. There was a man from Binyamin. Shmuel Kish. His name was Kish. Ben Avio, Ben Tzor, Ben Bechoras, Ben Afiyah, Ben Ishimini, Gibor Chayo. He was a mighty man of valor. Now, Aviel used to kindle lights in dark alleyways so people would be able to find their way from their houses to the shul. The question is, why is Binyamin chosen? Why is Binyamin chosen over any other shaven? Meaning, Yehuda is not ready yet. Fine, I understand that. Why is Binyamin chosen over anything else? So number one, who jumped into the sea first? We all know who. At the same time, there was a shaven that jumped in. Which shaven jumped in? Shaven Binyamin. Because they jumped in first with Nachshon ben Aminadav, therefore they were permitted to have the first king together with them. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov that kings would come from his loins. and then Binyamin was born. Meaning, Binyamin would be the king. That was a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yaakov Avinu. Number three, Binyamin was the only child of Yaakov that did not bow down to Esau. Binyamin wasn't born yet. Everybody else bowed down to Esau except for him. That's that. Number four, Sos of Rachel Avinu. Rachel Avinu allowed him to be. Although Yosef was going to be a different type of a king, Binyamin was allowed to be the ultimate king. Lo Yabed. So, Pasuk Bey says, he had a child, Shmo Shol, his name was Shol. Bachur Vatov, young and good. Maybe Shmo Bnei Yisrael told me, Menu Yishikmo, Vamala Gavol Bikalav, no man of Bnei Yisrael was better than he. From his shoulder and up, he was higher than all the people. It doesn't mean literally he was tall. He might have been really, really tall. I don't know. But it didn't mean it that way. It meant he was greater than anybody else there.
Better head.
Better everything. He was just a great, great person. A very, very big honor.
The only thing that's above the shoulders.
Yeah. I agree with that. Here's the funny thing about it. He could not have been very young. He died 3 years after this altogether. He died at the age of... when he died, Yehonasan, remember Yehonasan, his son, was 32. So let's do the math really quickly. If his son was 32, right, when do you think he had him?
Let's say he was late teens, early 20s.
Late teens, yeah, let's say 20. Right, that means he was at least 52. It's more likely that he was 59 years old. 59 years old altogether. And that's that. Probably at around that age. So, yet we're still calling him Bachur. The pshat is because he never did any sins. He never did anything wrong, so he's still a young man when it came to the sins that he was not over on.
What?
That's the pshat. That's the pshat yale. Batovadna sodas lakish avishol. The donkeys were lost. The ones that belonged to Kish, the father of Shol. Right? By Yomer Kish or Shol Beno. Kish said to Shol his son, Hakalit cause Akalit, or take one of the young lads, the Kulik Bakisat sodas, get out and go find the what's it called? The donkeys. But his words were prophetic. He said the word, Kul. Get up and go. You got that? Kum Leich. Now get the other way. Look at the letters after the word Kum. Is what? The last letter of Kum is? Mem. And then the next two letters are? Lavin Chor. That's Melech. He had the Nevuah. Not even realizing what he said, go and become a king. He went to Harafai. He went to Shalisha. And he went to the land of Shalisha. Velomatsu. He couldn't find it. He went to Shalim, but they weren't there. He went all throughout Binyamin, but he couldn't find them anywhere. Pasuk Hey. They came to the land of Tzuf. Shaul said to his child, the man that was with him, Lekubinashuva, you know what? We should probably go home now. Maybe our father is going to be stop worrying about the donkeys and he's going to start worrying about us. By the way, that shows us his humility. Not that he's going to worry about me. He's going to worry about us. See that?
Yeah.
Think Shaul's father cared about the servant? So Shaul said, maybe he'll worry about us. Check this out, by the way, if you see it right over here. He left Giva, went all the way up by Shalim, all the way down like that. A little bit of a circle. Went to Ramah and went to Giva, as we'll see in a second over there. By Yomer Lo, he didn't know Isha Elohim but Yerozo. So the child said, listen, there is a man of God that lives in this city, and the man is very honorable. Everything he says comes true. Let's go there. Maybe he'll tell us about the path that we are going on. Maybe he'll tell us about what direction we should go. So, apparently there were a lot of people back then that were soothsayers, right? Some were accurate, some weren't. This youth was saying, what the guy was saying is that, listen, it's clear that something's up with over here. Donkeys don't run away very far. So there's something up over here. So they were very puzzled. Why would this have happened to us? Why would the donkeys have traveled so far away from our house that we can't even find them? So that's what they were so lost about. So that they said, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us on this extensive journey? Let's go ask the donkey if he has an answer for us. By Yomer Shol and Aro, Shol said to his child, V'day Daily, Ma Navi L'Ish. If we go, what will we bring this man? We have no bread left. Anu. We don't have a gift for that man of God. What's going to be with us? It seems clearly that he thought he was just another soothsayer. Those guys take a lot of money. He's kind of like, what am I going to bring? What am I going to do for the Makobo over here? What am I going to do? About yours?
Puzzling that he hasn't heard of Shmuel before.
Maybe he didn't know who lived there. But Ari didn't say who it was.
Yeah, but Shmuel's not the type of guy to not get notes. The Navi, the guy talking to God.
Okay, but maybe he wasn't familiar with what Shmuel did. Maybe he thought that Shmuel, took money. Maybe he still thought that way because everybody else does. Maybe he does as well. You're right, though. That is interesting. But Yosef had a lot of the Shmuel. The child answered Shmuel. Listen, I have a quarter of a shekel of kesef, and I'll give it to the man of God. He'll tell us what to do. Okay, so we'll do that. Maybe it was very insignificant, right? Maybe it was whatever. It's approximately 68 cents. That's what I have over there. Lefanim Yisrael, before among the Jews, this is the Navi talking. This is what a man would say when he would go to ask God. Let's go see the seer. What we call a Navi today was back then called a seer. That's what they were called. It was called a roeh. Okay, that was that. This pasuk was added on later on by Nasan HaNavi and Gad HaChoseh. Shmuel HaNavi didn't write that, because Shmuel HaNavi was living at the time where they were called roehs. Right, so you would have written that. Right, later on, you're going to call it Navi, but now it's a roeh. This pasuk was added on by Gad HaNavi and Gad HaChoseh and Nasan HaNavi on the times of David HaMelech. Vayomer Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel said to his kid, Tov Tvarcha, you said good. L'chon Deilecha, let's go. Vayomer Yerusha Shama Yisholahin, they went to the city where the man of God was. They were going up the hill of the city. They found little girls. They were going out to draw water. They said to them, "Hayesh bazeh haroa. Is the Navi here? Okay? Is the Navi here?" On that, it's funny, right? Because they tried to say it as quickly as possible. They didn't want to talk to girls, like we should, right? They didn't want to talk to girls. They said very quickly, is it over here? They answered them. They said, now, what they did was they looked over at Shaul. And Shaul was really good looking. Okay? And they immediately were struck by the beauty. They wanted to keep him around so they could stare at him. So they said a lot. Yesh, he is. Hidei lefanacha. He's in front of you. Maher atal, quickly now. Ki hayom ba'ir. Today he came to the city. Ki zevach hayom la'am ba'ba. There is a korban today for the people on top of the altar. Right? That's the idea behind it. So they kept going. By the way, some, when it comes to all this, there's a reason why Shaul HaMelech was supposed to be good-looking and tall. Because the people wanted a king. They didn't just want to stab somebody. They wanted a king. So the physical appearance also allows them to understand what the king is supposed to look like. So they allowed it to be that way. But that's that. So that's what they were referring to over here. Kibbalah come a year. When he come to the city, Kainzim Tsuno So, you will find him. Metarim Yalaha Bamasa. Right before he goes up to the Baba Lachol to eat. Kilo Yoko Amad Boo. The people will not eat until he comes. Kuyuvarecha Zevach. He blesses the korban. Achrechen Yoklu Akru. And that's what everybody who who's invited eats. Not alu. Now go. He also kayom sinsuno so. You will go ahead and find him on this day. A lot of extra words. But the girls really wanted to speak to him. That's what it was. It is hashkafa though. What's hashkafa? They needed to meet Shmuel at exactly a certain place. Had the girls just said, yeah, he's right over there, they would have missed him. See what I'm saying? Only because they were delayed by the girls did they get to the place where they met Shmuel at exactly the right moment. So it did work out in the end. So it says, Bayalu ha'ir. So Pasuk Yudalel says they came to the city. Hema Bayim was over here as they were going inside the city. He day Shmuel yotze across. At that moment, Shmuel came out to greet them. Lalos abalek to go to the bubble. Hashem gavas ozen Shmuel yomachol the day Shaul lemor. Now Hashem had revealed Shmuel's ear the day before Shmuel Shaul came. Say the following. This was a day earlier. A flashback. Ke'is mokora. This time tomorrow, Ashlach elecha ish meres b'diavad. I will send you a man from the land of b'diavad. Will be shot You will anoint him as a prince of my people Israel. He will save my nation from the pollution. Because I've seen that the cries of the people have come to me. Notice, by the way, not a melech.
I was going to say,
that hereditary office. It is an office. It's a prince. But that's all it's going to be, and that's it. That's what it was supposed to be over here. He would be sort of like a caretaker. What do they call it? A steward. A steward. That's what he was supposed to be. Okay? Plus, good Zion. Shmuel Ra Shol. Shmuel Saw Shol. Vashem Adahu. Hashem answered it. Hina Isha Shemarke Lecha Zayat Rabbi. The man who I said to you, this is the guy who's going to be Otzer, my people. What's Otzer? He's going to prevent the pollution from fighting the people or stop them from doing any of theirs. That's what this guy's going to be. Here is the man that's going to hold back my nation. Okay, bring back my nation. Vayigash Shaul with Shmuel. Shaul came up to Shmuel. Bisol Hashar right by the gate. Vayomer Gidon Ali, Eza Beisaroa. Please tell me, where is the house of the seer? Vayar Shmuel Shaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, Vayomer Anochi Aroa. I am the seer. Uh-oh. Is that the right thing to say? You're supposed to have that type of guy, though?
What's she supposed to say?
Hashem said to Shmuel, you call yourself a seer, I'm going to show you what you don't see. So when he went to Yishai, the next time he made a king, he was trying to look for the king, right? And he said, it's that guy. Hashem said, no. That guy, no. No, 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 no. And then Hashem said, it's David. He wasn't able to see. Should have said, you'll figure it out. Just say, wait, what she have said? Might have replied, I am the man you are looking for. Instead of saying, I am the seer. That's different. That's different. Yes, David, you are going to be punished for saying that I am the greatest man in the world. Hopefully not. I am the seer. Come in front of me to the Bubba. You are eating with me today. By the way, the reason why he made a Bubba that day was because he knew that who was coming that day.
The next person.
Exactly. V'shilachticha baboker, I will send you away in the morning. V'choshor bovavcha, agid l'cha. Right? Everything that is in your heart, I will tell you. You have any questions? I'll take care of them for you. You have any problems? I will take care of them for you. V'lachsonos ha'ovdos l'cha yom shloshes yadid. The donkeys that were lost for you today, for those 3 days, I'll toss them asleep. Don't pay attention to them. Keep them so. They were found already. Who owns all the great things of Israel? It's all yours, my friend. And to all of the house of your father. Now that, he never told him he was going to be the prince. Never told him he was going to be a king. But all of a sudden, Shaul was listening to him. And Shaul knew that Shmuel and Avi was looking for a king. He knew. Everybody knew that they were looking for a king. So he heard that, and he's like, what does that mean? He realized something was up. But I'm only a Binyamin. I'm not from Yehuda. I'm not from Yehuda. Miktari Shifti Yisrael. Binyamin's the smallest of the Shadim Yisrael. Mishpachti Yatzi'iru Mikol Mishpachos Shifti Binyamin. My family is the youngest of all the Shadim Binyamin. Lodi Barthel, I could double as that. Why in the world are you telling me such things? I'm not the king. How can I be the king?
Even after Philae is Behemoth, they should have lost it, right?
For sure. That's what he's really saying. Where in the world does Binyamin get the audacity to think that they could become kings? Shmuel took Shaul as Aaron, his young lad. He brought them to the chamber. He put them in a place at the front of all those invited. There was about 30 men there. The 30 represented the 30 milas of the king. 30 milas that are given over to the king. Shmuel said to the slaughterer, take the portion that I gave you, telling you, keep it with you. Right before Shmuel came down here, he told the slaughterer, somebody's coming to this party, he's getting the best portion. Give him the filet mignon. He gets the filet mignon. My yarma tabach is a shok fell out, and the slaughterer pulled out the thigh, and what was upon it? And he put it in front of Shaul, and he did a nishar. Here is what remains. Sibla v'necha akol, he put it in front of you, and eat it. It has been waiting for you. Lamor ha'amka.
Korasi, I called the people by Yoko Soli, Shul by Yomahu. And so it was Shul on that day. It was reserved for him already. They went down from the bubble to the city by the bear in Shul Alagag. He spoke with Shul on the roof. What does that mean on the roof? Talked about godly concepts. Very high concepts, and told Shul, your biggest problem is going to be your gaiva. That's your biggest problem. He gave him Musar and taught him fear of God. You have to have your Shabbat. You have to fear God. You have to make sure that you do this correctly. Ashkibu. Always remember that there is a God above you. Ashkibu, they got up early. The Ekalos HaShachar is the morning dawn. Vayikar Shmuel Oshola God Lemor. Kuba Vashalachaka. Get up and I will send you off. Vayakam Shol. Vayitu Shneim Hu Shmuel Achutza. They went out. He and Shmuel, they both went outside. Led out by Shmuel. That was a public demonstration that this man is going to be the leader. They showed who it's going to be. So now all the tabloids are going crazy. All the tabloids. They're all going crazy. Who is this guy? Where did he come from? What is this thing? Heba Yordim Iksei, here they're going outside the skirts of this, the outskirts of the city. Shmuel Amar HaShol, Shmuel said to Shol, Emo Lenar V'Yavor L'Fanenu, tell the Nar to go in front of us. Right? V'Yavor, and he went. Zata Amon Kayom, you will stand here. Nenei V'Ashmiachas Devar Elokim. I'm going to tell you the word of God. Okay? This is not going to be an omen, but it's going to be a reminder. In other words, it went like this. Shaul specifically brought out Shmuel at the beginning of the day to anoint him at the beginning of the day. Now why? Why would he do such a thing? So we have to understand, there's a difference between an omen and a reminder. An omen is awesome. You can't make omens. Like, okay, we are going to do something exactly at midday because that's the best time to do it. We don't do that sort of stuff. We're going to do this on the 13th day of the month because the 13th day of the month is the best time you'll be able to do that. That you're not supposed to do. But a reminder you can do. Meaning, let's remind you that just like the sun comes out, that's the idea that it has to be symbolizing that's what your leadership should be like. You should be like the sun coming out on the people, helping the people. That we're allowed to do. You can't make it open, but you can make it simple. That's the idea behind it. You don't look like the other guy. That's right. No.
It's fine.
We're not doing any white chickens for you later on today. Pasuk Yud. Parak Yud, I'm sorry. Vayikach Shmuel, Pachash Shem, Yitzok al Rosho. Shmuel took the jar of oil, spread it on his head, Vayishakeyu. Okay, and he kissed him. Vayibar Halokyu, Yishakacha, Hashem, and Achlos Lidagid. Hashem has now anointed you to be a leader over everything he owns. Now the process is, you draw the oil outside with your finger, you draw it into a circle at Shaul's head. Then you take that oil and you make an X just like that. That's what it ended up being. Now that's what Shaul, the Shmuel, did with Shaul HaMelech. However, David HaMelech was not taken out from a stav pach Hashem. It was taken out from a jar of oil, a jug of oil. And the difference is, this oil was regular oil. The oil used by David HaMelech was the anointing oil, the Shemen HaMishcha, that was used for the base of Mikdash. That's
the Shemen HaParsenemi
oil. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Melechah Yomi Imadi. As you leave me today, Umatzasa Shnei Adoshim Yivulas Rocha.
The coronation, or the whatever you want to call it, has to be done in front of people.
No. It doesn't have to be done. You're going to find two men right by Kever Rachel. By the border of Binyamin Betzotzah. They're going to say to you that they found the donkeys that you were looking for. Your father is no longer looking for the donkeys. He's worried about you saying, what will I do about my son? Okay? That's what those they're going to say. Okay? So it goes like this. The Khalata Misham Bahala. You will pass by there and go further. Ubasad Elon Tavor. Go to the place called Elon Tavor. Matsaucha Sham Shloshanash, you will find there three men. Olam Elohim, Beth El. They're going to worship God in Beth El. Echadose Shlosha Gideon. One is carrying three goats. Bakadose Shloshes Kikros Lakam. And one is carrying three loaves of bread. Bakadose Nabal yayin. One is carrying a flask of wine. Okay, all these things are going to be shown over here. They're all going to be signs of what he was supposed to see. They'll ask you how you're doing. They will give you two loaves of bread. They'll ask you the other. You will take it from their hands. Why? Because Shaul and his nar did not have any food left.
Well, they just got fed.
They got fed, but what about tomorrow? That'll be your food. Why did he get two loaves of bread?
So he can make a motion.
So he'll be king for?
That's
correct. Another reason? Because he took the two luchos back from the Pelishtim. Remember when the Pelishtim took the Arun Kodesh? They grabbed it. Shaul got the luchos out. He was rewarded now. After that, you're going to come to the hill of God. There are the princes of the Pelishtim. When you get to that city, you're going to come upon a rope of Nevi'im, a bunch of prophets, a band of prophets. They're coming down from the bubba that they made. With them, Naval Vesoka Khalil Makinor, they will have harps and drums and flutes and guitars. They're going to be prophesying.
Hold on. We got the Aaron back. Why are all these bummas around?
The Aaron was not yet back in the Mishkan. They weren't carrying it, remember? It was sitting in, what's it called? In Kiryas Yaarim. And it would be there until David HaMelech took it down. It's because that Bubba's were still mutter. That's why it was still mutter. These students, by the way, were B'nai Shmuel. They were not the sons of Shmuel, but Nevi'e. The B'nai Nevi'im, they were sons of the prophets, like Talmidim of Shaul, of Shmuel.
Good guys.
Who were going. They were good people. But Tzolcha Alecha Ruach Hashem says Shaul HaMelech, says Shmuel HaNavi, you're going to have the Spirit of God. You will prophesy with them. That will turn you into a brand new person. That will be your ready to become a leader. When these signs happen for you, then prepare yourself as well as you can. Because God is going to be with you. I want you to come down to me by Gilgal. That I will go down to you to bring up Olos to Shech as Shlomit. Shivas Yomim for 7 days Tocha and Boye Lecha. You have to wait until I come to you. And that's when I'll tell you what you must do. At that point, I'm going to tell you how to proceed. Wait for me, said Shmuel and Avi to Shaul HaMelech. Wait for me. 7 days at Gilgal. Do not do anything until I appear.
He probably had to purify himself, no? 7 days?
That is correct. Vaya. When he turned his shoulder to go from Shmuel, God gave him another heart. All the signs came on that day. Strange, by the way. That's not how you lead your Rebbe. You don't turn your back on your Rebbe. You should go leading backward. That's how he should go. But since now he's the king, he's not allowed to do that. He has more honor than his Rebbe. So he's not allowed to turn himself around. He must remain with his back towards Shmuel to show that he's the leader now, not Shmuel and Avi. Pasuk Yud. Vayavod, it's Yud Yud. Vayavod Shalom Givasa. He came to Giva. V'nechav Levi'im L'Krasov. There was a prophet, you know, a band of prophets are coming to greet him. At Tzolav Ruach Elokim. He got the Spirit of God. And he prophesied along together with them. Vayikol Yodom Eitzmol. So Shalom, anybody who knew Shaul before that, Vayir they saw the Nevi'im people. All of a sudden he's prophesying with the prophets. Remember all the Israel, every man said to his friend, what's up with Ben Kish? Hagam Shaul Ben Nevi'im? Is Shaul even a prophet? That was like a catchphrase back then.
Mm-hmm.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
A man came from there and said, well, who's their father? In other words, come on. Who's the father of all this? It's all up to Shmuel. Whatever Shmuel says, goes. It was like a mushroom. Whenever they saw something shocking that they never saw before, they would say, is Shmuel also a prophet? He stopped prophesying and he came to the Baba. Stopped
giving the nevuah, and he came over to the boat. So that's Shaul. Okay?
What happened to the encounter at Kivarov?
It happened. We just, yeah. Vayomer Dod Shaul Elov. I have no idea why it's the uncle of Shaul, but I find it very surprising that Shaul Elov is met by a guy who has the same name as David.
Is that interesting?
Take out the O, obviously. Val Naro to his.
He doesn't say anything now?
Naro. Nothing. Unhalakim. Where did you guys go? We were Levakis Asodos, right? We tried to find the donkeys. But Irakiai, we saw that they weren't there. But of all Shmuel, so we went to Shmuel. Straight. His uncle tried to see what it was that had made him such a different person. Like, what's up with that? So Shaul answered him simply. Not that he's a king. He answered him, anybody who goes to Shmuel is a different person when they come out. You go to see a Navi, you're not the same person you were going in. That's what he told him. Very, very unknown. Right? Very big unknown. If I ever told Shaul, like, please tell me. What does Shmuel tell you? Very much Shaul will do. Those Shaul said to his uncle, he told us, that the donkeys were found, but he did not tell him that he had become the king. For now, it was a secret. If Shmuel really wanted to publicize it, he would have told Shaul to publicize it. But he didn't want it. So that's that. Because he was silent, and because he didn't want to do anything out loud, he was rewarded. You know what the reward was? He was given a great, great, great granddaughter by the name of Esther. And thus no one found out that she was the queen.
Repeat that.
Because he was silent and wouldn't tell anybody that he was the king without Shmuel's permission, he was still going to have a great, great, great granddaughter, Queen Esther. And that was the schuss, because she kept silent about her nationality, about everything about her. So therefore, that's exactly what happened over here. It says, Vayasek Shmuel's El Hashem HaMitzvah. Shmuel called the people to assemble in front of Mitzvah. Now became the public coronation. This is in Yud Zayin. We got a public coronation. Now it's going to be in front of everybody. He assembled the whole nation, right? This is the idea. Not only was Shmuel going to put him in charge, he wanted the people to accept him. He wanted everybody there to accept him. So says God, the God of Israel. I brought out Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. I saved you from Mitzrayim. From all the kingdoms that have oppressed you. Okay? Today you have despised your God, that has saved you from all of your evils, from all of your pains. And you said to him, Ki melech tzivo lenu, you want a king. Now, stand before God according to your shvatim and according to your thousands. We're going to see who God chooses. Shmuel brought all the shvatim by, and God chose which Sheva? Sheva Binyamin. Right? I don't know what happened exactly. I don't know if they went outside the Urim Tumim and the Urim Tumim lit up when Binyamin walked by, or if you put all the names in a box and he pulled out a little lottery and the lottery said Binyamin. I don't know which one he did. Vayakar Shem Binyamin, he brought close Shem Binyamin, Lishpachosav, according to his families. Vayilok and Mishpachosav Matri, came close to Mishpachosav Matri. Vayilok and Shaul Ben Kish. And then they ended up getting the name of Shaul Ben Kish. Vayivakshu, they looked for him, below him saw, but they couldn't find him anywhere. Just like the donkeys. Vayishalu Bashem, they asked Hashem again, Hava Odalom Ish, has another man come here? Okay? The Urim Bitumim was asking, where exactly is he? Vayomer Hashem, Hineu Nefal Akelim. He is hiding among the vessels. Go look among the coats or their pot, stuff like that.
Where there's a stomach or there anything in the middle of the vessel.
Yeah, there's a bunch of places like it. It is weird though, and I don't have an answer as to why it happens like that. That I don't know. It happens in the Torah by Reuven. By they ran, they took him out from there. They stood him among the people. He was a shoulder and taller than all the other people. Can you imagine all the people are like one height? And Shaul is literally standing above all the others. But it didn't literally mean that way. It's more that it was spiritual, right? He was a greater man than all of them. Have you seen the one that was chosen by God? There's no one like him among the people. They all called out loud, let the king live. Long live the king. That's that. Shmuel told the people the Mishpat of the Melucha. He wrote it in a sefer. He put it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know what that means. I have no idea where he put it. Meaning, what book is this? By Shalach Shmuel's Kol Am Yisrael Beso, and then Shmuel sent every man home.
The Mari Kros is basically, it was just something for pass on from generation to generation, like for all the
kings. But it was put in front of Hashem.
Yeah, they stuck it where they
in the Arun,
maybe, and the Mishkan, whatever.
I don't remember it ever being mentioned among all the things that are with the Arun. The Gam Shol Halach LeBeis Giva. So Shol went back to his house to Giva. There was an army that went with them. That God had touched their hearts. There were many, many men of valor. These were not just chayalim. They were tzaddikim. Who HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them feel like they're doing the right thing. It's time to go. The evil men said, how will this guy save us? They made fun of him. They would not bring him a gift. But he remained silent. He remained silent, right, and that's that.
In the Sefer David said it was Lifnei Hashem means Lifnei Ha'Ara. That he is whatever book he wrote. It was in
the Aruch Kodesh, but I don't remember it mentioned in Baba Basra. By the way, because of that, there were people that said to him, he wasn't worth it. He wasn't Kedai. He wasn't anything. Meaning that the type of person that he was unfit. He was unfit. He's that fucking yelled
in. Yeah, but he was a great man from all the people.
That they agreed. But they said he's still the weakest family. Why isn't Yehuda chosen? The real answer, we know the real answer is that he wasn't right. He wasn't ready to be chosen. We know that's the answer. But the truth is, it's a strange thing. Why was this guy chosen over anything else? By Yao Nachash HaMoni. Nachash HaMoni got up. This is a Perek Yud Aleph. We're starting Perek Yud Aleph. Nachash HaMoni got up. Every king of Ammon is known as Nachash. That's their name. Nachash HaMoni got up. Yichalo Yavish Gilad. He camped upon Yavish Gilad. But Yavu Kolachi Yavish El Nachash. Cross little bridge without Deka. Listen, make us a deal and we'll serve you. And that's that, right? It's crazy. Just at this time, when Shaul was made king to fight the Pelishtim, at this moment, Abu decided to fight? No. What's the point? It was to show the people how great of a king Shaul was going to be. Because Shaul's going to take charge here. And if he can defeat Abu, then he certainly will be able to defeat the Pelishtim. Oh, remember, by the way, why was Yavish Gilad the people over here? What happened with Yavish Gilad? Do you remember?
Didn't they have the false prophets?
They were the people who didn't get up by Pelegesh Begiva. They didn't care about what happened in Shevet Binyamin. So they were the people who demeaned Shaul and made fun of Shaul. And therefore, Nachash came up upon them. Nachash said to them, here's how I'll make you a bris. If you blind, if you gouge out all of your right eyes, I will make it a sign of shame over all of Bnei Yisrael. Okay, some say that it meant it literally. Gouge out your eyes, and yeah, then we're good. Others say it's a reference to the Torah. There's a part of the Torah that says that Lo Yavo Moabi Ma'amoni the Klal Yisrael. That Ammonim and Moabim are not allowed to join Klal Yisrael, right? They said, erase that out of your Torah, and we'll accept a treaty. Otherwise, we're going to kill all of you. That's what they said. Yavish Gilad couldn't do that. By Yomri loves Zikne Yavish, the elders of Yavish said, Harav Lodu Shiva said, we'll give us 7 days, and Ishmael Malacha the Hogbul Yisrael. We'll send out messengers to all of Yisrael. The Yavish Gilad said,
Right? And if no one's able to save us, meaning if no one's willing to do what you ask, then we'll come out to you. Right? That's what we'll do. Nachash Rabbo didn't care. He had no regard for the armies of Bnei Yisrael. He didn't think they were worth anything. So the messengers came to Givat Shaul. And they told the words in the ears of the people. All the people lifted up their voices and they cried. How in the world could they do such things? Okay? And that's that. Shaul came behind the cattle. He had set up for the field. Now this...
He's the king. Why is he shepherding?
This was a major problem on the side of Shaul. How could he have done this? This is not the way a king acts. It's not the way a king acts.
He's a man of the people.
Very strange. What's going on with the people? They're all crying. They told them the words of the people of Yavesh Kilod. Now here we go. It could be that he thought that he wasn't accepted by the people, so he went back to being a cattle herder. It could be that he came in at the time that the cattle were coming in. It could be that he got gridlocked. There was an accident of cattle, and he was just behind the cattle. It could be it was just incidental, right? Whatever it is. Anyway, the Spirit of God came upon Shaul. When he heard these things, he got very, very angry. He had Ruach HaKodesh. This got Shaul going. Remember what happened to Shimshon? Shimshon would strengthen himself, and then he would tear apart a lion. That's what happened to Shaul over here. He's ready to destroy. He took a pair of oxen and he cut them into pieces with his bare hands.
Are you allowed to just...
You're allowed to kill an ox.
Like that?
He sent it out to all the different borders of Esau, the animal of the labor. You're not doing it for Shabbat. You're allowed to kill it. Not to eat it. The animal of the labor, he sends it over the hand of the messenger saying, whoever doesn't come after Shaul, after Shmuel, and after Shmuel, this is what will be for his cattle. The fear of God went upon the nation and they went out all as one. Crazy, right? He literally took a carcass of carts and put it out for all Bnei Yisrael to tell Israel, we've got to act together. We've got to act with actors together. Right? Kadeb the Bezek, he counted them at Bezek. Some say he used shards of pottery to count them, right? One after the other. There were 300,000 Jews, 30,000 men of Yehuda, all together that were ready to fight this war.
He was allowed to count them, though?
Yeah, you're allowed to count as long as you don't count the people. Yeah. One, two, three. You can give pottery shards. That you're allowed to do. They said to the messengers, Habayim, that came from Yavish Gilad, Yavish Gilad, this is what you tell over the people of Yavish Gilad, the Chol HaShemesh. Right? Tomorrow there will be a Yeshua, there will be a salvation when the sun rises. The Malachim went, they told it over to the people of Yavish, and they were very, very happy. They spread the word. Tomorrow we go upon you, Nachash. You will do to us whatever is good in your eyes. Right? Very ambiguous. They didn't say that they had an army. They said, we'll go out to you, we'll see what's going to be. What was the next day? Shaul put the people into three different heads. He came into the middle of the camp, Ashmar, Saborka, in the early morning. They killed Ammon until the heat of the day. Anybody left from Ammon scattered. There weren't even two people remained together. They all fled. They ran away. Shaul destroyed all of them. The people said, who are the people that said, who is Shaul that he should be king over us? Right? Bring those men close. We're going to put them all to death. Who are those people that said such things? How could they have said such things? Of Shaul HaMelech. They opposed Shaul HaMelech becoming king. They deserve to die. Vayomer Shaul. Lo yumas ish vayomer zeh. But Shaul said again, it is humility. No man will die on this day. Ki hayom asa Hashem tshuva. Yeshua be Yisrael. Today, God has made a salvation for B'nai Yisrael. This is going to be a very big thing. Because Shaul said this now, later on, when he said that anybody who does something wrong is going to be put to death, and his son, Yehonasan, does something wrong, he should have been put to death. But the people said, how can you kill a guy on the day of salvation of Hashem? Shaul was going to kill him. He had to. He said he was going to kill him. But because he said this, I'm not going to kill anybody on that day that there's a salvation, that's what happened with Yehonasan itself. That was within his rights. He could pardon them because he didn't want this great day to be marred by tragedy. That's the idea behind it. And also, Shaul wanted to say, Masa Hashem Shuv Yisrael. This was not me. I didn't do this. This is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come, let's go to Gilgal. We're going to renew the kingdom. Now, everyone has really accepted you as king. That's what Shmuel said to Shaul. It's real now. Now everyone accepted you. They all went to Gilgal. They made Shaul the king in front of Hashem in Gilgal. They sacrificed Shlomit in front of Hashem, by Yismach Shom Shaul, right? And Shaul was, I guess you'd say, made king there. Because Yisrael Ad Ma'od, everybody was happy. Shaul and all the people Yisrael, everybody was very, very happy. The reason why they went to Gilgal is because that was the area where the what's called the Aron Kodesh was up until a long time ago. Yeah.
If I'm translating correctly down here, the Malbim says that the reason why Moyomos Ish Moyomos Zeh is because he wasn't really the king. They weren't more of the Malbim when they were saying it was this guy.
Because he wasn't yet king. Which makes sense. He was like a quasi king, almost king, but he wasn't fully accepted yet. Now he's fully accepted. Now he's going to be fully accepted. Now, why did he have to be fully accepted? Was David about fully accepted? No. He became king over Chevron. So why do you have to be fully accepted? The difference is like this. It's different. When it's Yehuda, then it's accepted no matter what. When it's Binyamin, it needs to be accepted by everyone. Everyone had to be involved. And that was the major difference. Because Binyamin was not like any of the other Shvatim. He shouldn't have become king. The fact that he became king is something that's totally different. And that's what we're saying is very, very different for here. Okay, we're on your base. Should we start this?
Why not? What are we going to do for the next 10 minutes?
I have listened to your voice, everything you said to me, and I made for you a king. Okay, he's going over everything he's done. He's telling them, listen, did you ever hear anything bad that I ever did? Is there anything that you guys have wrong with me? Now, the king is walking in front of you. But he's a kati. I'm old. Mustafa. And I've aged. My children are now together with you. And I walked in front of you to from my youth until today. I've been with you guys for almost 50 years. Okay? I've been with you for that amount of time altogether. Now, it is true. He wasn't that old. How old is he at this time? This boy? 51. He's 51. It's that old.
A young man.
He still was young. So what does he mean, I am old? I am aged. The Kodesh Baruch Hu knew that Shaul was going to have to die. That my handiwork shouldn't die during my lifetime. That's what he davened for. I don't want it to happen during my lifetime.
Well, hold on a second. Shmuel, we already knew Shmuel was going to die because of the math, right?
I mean, we knew it, but Shmuel didn't know that. Shmuel, all of a sudden, when he turned 51, he got really, really old. And he's like, I don't know what this is. The reason why is because Hashem wanted that Shaul was going to die. So David could become king. But Shmuel said, I don't want my handiwork to die, right, when I'm still there, right, when I'm around. So Hashem said, what am I going to do? If I kill Shaul, Shmuel won't let me. But if I kill Shmuel, people will think he died at the age of 52. He was so young. What did he do wrong? He did a sin. So I'll make him look like he's really old, and then I'll let him die. So he became aged much more quickly, before his time.
People didn't want to know about that either.
Well,
when they saw it, they kind of forgot his age. They didn't think about how old he was. They saw old he looked, they're like, wow, he looks like he's 80 years old. They felt like he was old. Even though he's only 52, he never had a 50, you know, he didn't celebrate his birthday. They didn't know. They just realized, oh wow, all of a sudden he got really, really old. So that's what he said. So that's the idea behind it. And also, Shmuel was trying to say, I may be old though, and I might not be able to answer all your questions. My sons are still 40. My sons are still available. If you guys have any questions, you can always ask them. You can ask them anything that you want. Kidney Anubi, I want you to answer me. Neged Hashem, v'neged Mishicho. Opposite God, and opposite His anointed one, Shaul. Eshur Milakati, have I ever taken an ox from any of you? The Chamor Milakati, did I ever take a donkey from any of you? Esmiya Shakti, did I ever oppress you? Esmirat Sosi, have I ever robbed you? Umiyat Milakati Kofer, have I ever taken any type of a bribe? Ba'alim Edibo, Moshe Lachem, that I hid my eyes from, that I looked away from. And if I did that, then I will return it to you. If I ever did anything wrong, just tell me. And that's the idea behind it. The problem is that Shmuel brought all of his food with him and all of his stuff with him wherever he went. He went somewhere, he brought his stuff with him. He went somewhere else, he brought his stuff with him. He said from everywhere else, I never took anything from them. And that's the idea behind it. I always used my own stuff. And that's what he was trying to say over here. That's the idea. This wasn't necessary, by the way. Shmuel was just going above the letter of the law to show them how he had acted. They said, you have not oppressed us. You have not robbed us. You have not taken anything from anybody. Hashem is an aid among you, and Shaul is your aid. This day, that you have not found anything wrong with me, that I haven't done anything wrong. And they said, aid. And they said, that is the witness. Now, some say that Shabayim called out. Vayomer is in singular. That in Vayomeru, and they said, Vayomer, God called out, witness. I agree, says Hashem.
What's the point of this episode? He's like giving himself his last right, just making sure this place is clean.
Yeah.
But what does he have to prove to anybody?
He doesn't. Lifted me short to them. He wanted to show everybody. I'm telling you, there was nothing that I did wrong, but if there is, somebody tell me now. If anybody has any problem with anything that I've ever done, tell me now so I can do tshuva and I'll pay you for it right now. That's what Shmuel said. He didn't have to. He wanted to be able to do such a thing. He wanted to say it out loud. My ever Shmuel about Allah. Hashem Asher Hotzah Moshe Vez Aaron Asher Halos 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 Halos. God made, you know what, let's stop with this. Let's start with positive vote. Start right here next time. Shkayach, guys. Shkayach, Ephraim.